Hi, this is Tiffany the Last.
And Mary Jane.
And we're outside the Casbah with the world champ surfer and musician Timmy Curran. Hi, Timmy.
Hi. Hello. We are on our way now. These days going by as a blink of an eye, don't know how. So live all the way, all the way, all the way.
I was reading on your website, and I guess in an interview, that you said you've been trying to be a songwriter for many years, but it had always been a horrible experience. So what changed and made you want to do this publicly, or made you feel more comfortable with yourself?
Well, I think I tried writing songs for, like, you know, the last, up until 2 years ago, like 10 years, and I just never felt comfortable with the way I sang, and I always loved writing songs and writing the songs, but then when I'd sing them, I just thought they were not so good at all. And then it was about 2 years ago in Japan, I was coming back from a surf contest that I was doing out there, and I was in my hotel room in Tokyo, and I wrote a song called If I Only Had a Way, and I had my mini disc player with me, and I record it and then listen to it. I'm like, oh, you know, it sounds all right to me. You know, I'm like, this is maybe like the best sounding song that I've written. And so I came home and showed my wife and my brothers, and they liked it. And they're like, yeah, we actually like the way you sing it. And then I was like, really? And it just got me really excited to keep on writing and keep on singing. And right after that, the next contest was in Brazil. And I went down there, and it was weird because the waves were bad for the contest, so we had like a week waiting period, and it was raining, and so I was just in my hotel room for like a week straight, and I ended up writing a song called Horses on the Range down there, and then another song called Joan about my grandma.
Let's keep watching the sunrise till I am brought home. If the great Lord calls me before you can go, I will leave my heart behind and race up to the light. And there I shall not move, there I'll wait for you.
Right after Horses on the Range, like, a lot happened. Rob Machado, one of my good friends, I showed him one of the songs, and then he said he was working on a compilation album with another friend for Japan, and he sent If I Only Had a Way to Japan, and the next thing you know, it was on the compilation with, like, Jack Johnson and all these other people, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest thing ever. And then probably a few weeks after that, Horses on the Range went into this documentary on Al Merrick, who's, like, the biggest surfboard shaper in the world.
These chains that are holding me make it so hard for me to breathe. The air that most of us do not see. I'll speak for all confined by these walls which have held us to a humiliating crawl. There ain't no doubt once I get out of years of wasted.
totally, like, so quick, mm-hmm. and then, like, everything started going, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so cool, and a lot's happened since that song 2 years ago, It Finally Had a Way.
So is that how your current EP came about?
Yeah, I had to go record it a little better than my mini disc, uh-huh. so I went in and recorded It Finally Had a Way at my friend's house, who I did the album at, too, and, you know, it was all live, we just did it a whole bunch of takes, because... I'm always learning, still learning to this day, but I wasn't good at playing to a click, and so I just had to play it live and, like, do a couple takes and get a good one for that. And then when the Horses on the Range song came, and my friend asked me if he could use it for the documentary, it was the same thing. Like, a month later, I called Ian again. I'm like, hey, Horses on the Range is going to go on in the song. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah. And so I'm like, can I come back in? And then he's like, well, do you have a couple more songs? We talked about it. And he's like, well, you might as well record a couple more songs while you're here. So I go down there, and same thing. I, like, couldn't play to a click. And so he's like, all right, let's just do it a couple takes, and we'll do all the, you know, a couple songs and just play them live. And next thing you know, we had that 6-song acoustic EP, Satsuka. And that's been out a year now. And, yeah, that's kind of how that all started, you know.
Well, what does that name mean? How do you pronounce it?
Satsuka.
Satsuka.
And it's just acoustic backwards.
Oh,
and we
really?
Took out the O.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, very tricky. We're very sneaky.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just curious how it is to perform athletically in front of spectators and judges. How does that differ performing as a musician for crowds?
I'm way more nervous singing and playing music in front of people. I think... you know, surfing, I've done it since I was 6 years old, and I get nervous, especially when there's competition, but it's like a different kind of nerves. Like, if you fall, everybody falls surfing, you know, yeah. and it's different. Like, it's okay, but that feeling of, like, I can't fall on stage, you know, or forget my words, or forget the song. And I think there's that whole thing, you know, growing up, or just thinking about musicians and like, you just can't mess up, you know. And so when you first start doing it, the pressure you put on yourself, or I put on myself, was heavy, and so I was always so nervous. I still am to this day, and it's getting a little bit better now after a year of playing with a band and playing some tours. But I think one is more, you know, draining and exhausting, but then feels good, like, on the body, you know, surfing, and it's like good workout. And then, you know, music is more mentally, like, a better mental workout, and you got to remember and stay focused and try to totally block out, you know, everything, and just, like, tap into your song and sing it as if you wrote it a few minutes before you sang it.
You mentioned Jack Johnson, and I came across a song that he wrote called Timmy Curran, La Ti Di Da. Were you with him when he wrote it?
Yeah, well, it was funny about, I don't even know, it was, like, right when Jack Johnson's, all his mini disc stuff came out, and I wrote a song called Blue Skies and Sunny Days. It was, like, I wrote it maybe 8 years ago, and it was, like, the first full song that I wrote. And I remember he'd play his songs, and that was the one I had that I'd sing and play, but I didn't like the way I sang it. And so, like, playing that back and forth, and then he wrote kind of that song and Blue Skies and Sunny Days, you know. And he didn't remember the lyrics, so he just kind of added his own. And, yeah, it's that was all in, like, the very, very beginnings of Jack Johnson and the start of his music too, when we're all hanging out and surfing and doing surf trips.
Boy named Timmy Kerr, he likes to sing. An old boy named Timmy, he likes to sing, and he goes la di di da. La di di da, he says la di di da. He says la di di da, and he says blue skies and sunny days could never replace the time I spent. But this time could lose your mind, but they don't know.
Mentioned earlier, you've got a new album coming out, Word of Mouth, that's going to be released really soon, and you've decided to release it for free online. I'm just really interested in why you're doing this.
It's just always been in the back of my mind, because music, you know, kind of came out of the blue for me, and it's something that I never would have dreamed I'd be doing. So much has happened with that EP that we gave, you know, so many away, and it came out in the documentary Flow, and we sent it out with a magazine in Australia, and we just kind of, in my surfing world, there's so many great avenues to get music out there, and so far the surfing industry has been so supportive, and I felt like it's just been so nice just giving it away, and I feel it was just something I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. You know, there, for me, being a, you know, pro surfer, I have commitments with my sponsors, and I'm still doing that and totally focused on that, and I just feel like it feels right to me just to give it away, and then kind of keeps it kind of all in our court, and I could play shows when I want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't owe anybody anything, and it's just great, you know, because it's all independent, and I record at my friend's house, and we kind of just did it all, you know, underground style. I thought it'd be totally cool just to make it totally free for everybody, and if you do want to buy an album, you could buy a hard copy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be very simple. It's just going to be like a sleeve cover with the album cover, and then that's it, and just very simple, and you can get that on my website. But I'm telling people, don't buy it, just go get it for free, and if you don't have a computer, have your friend download it and burn you a copy.
Mm-hmm. Well, because the music industry is really not into giving things away for free, so I'm wondering, how do you feel about illegal downloading?
I don't support it. You know, I think, you know, you should buy music if you want it, but you know, for me, my friends bought music, and some of the last albums they bought it, and then they burned it and gave it to me, and I really liked their music, and I went and saw their shows. So, you know, I did give back to the artist, but I'm not trying to be like free music and everybody should get free at all. I just think for me, it works best. It's easy. And with the internet and all that, I feel it's like an easy way. If people like it, it'll get out there. And, you know, if they like it, maybe they'll come to shows and it'll be cool, you know?
Yeah. I saw your EP at Borders.
Yeah, well, we did like a little distribution deal with my friend who started a record label called Record Collection, and we did it with them for like a year, and then they just gave us the EP back. And it was funny, we did a distribution deal, and then right then we gave out like, you know, 50,000 copies of it worldwide. So, and then on my website it was free. Uh-huh. So it was kind of like, hey, if you're gonna give it away for free, you could just have it back. And it was a friend of mine who did it, so it was totally cool, and it worked out great. But yeah, I'm sure it got into some random places, and it's the same thing. It's free, but we're gonna sell it online and at shows as well. But I know there's a few mystery ones out there still. So,
well, you got to play a couple of shows with the Foo Fighters. How was your experience with that, and how was it to play with such a major band so early on in your music career?
It scared me a lot. It's funny, everybody's, you know, how was it opening up for Foo Fighters? And I'm like, now it was amazing. But during that time, I was so afraid and so nervous and couldn't even think straight. And every single song and lyric, I was just like overly trying to like remember each little part, because I'm like, I can't mess up in front of Foo Fighter fans, you know? And that whole tour was amazing. All those guys, you know, Dave and Chris and Nate and Taylor, they were all like so cool and made us all feel totally relaxed, but then just knowing we're going out in front of their fans is a bit nerve-wracking, and overall it was amazing. Like, I mean, to have that opportunity, I only played with a band for 1 month before we went out with the Foo Fighters, so it was totally nerve-wracking. I just learned how to play to a drums and like to a beat, and so it was such a crazy learning experience, and I feel like I don't know. Yeah, coolest thing ever.
Back to your songwriting, I was just wondering, where's the most exotic place that you've written a song?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, you go to a lot being a surfer.
Yeah, yeah. Probably like Brazil, because it's kind of out there. You know, we're on this island called Florianopolis, and we're staying in this little hotel, and you know, you're just, it's cool. You know, it's very tropical and out there, and it was cool being there because I wrote Horses on the Range and Joan down there, mm-hmm. and I felt like that was pretty cool, but the most remote.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, what's the most outrageous show you've ever been to?
I have like two that were crazy. Well, Foo Fighters, we watched 11 shows in a row, the entire set. Beyond amazing. I couldn't get enough of those guys.
And were they playing acoustic too?
They played acoustic. So for me, I love acoustic music, and seeing them play that was so cool. And Dave is like the funniest dude in the world. He didn't even need to play music. You just go watch him talk for 2 hours, and he's hilarious. So he had everybody in stitches, you know, laughing the whole time. And another great one, I saw there's this band called Hours, and I saw the lead singer play this acoustic show at, I think, the Viper Room like 5 years ago, and it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. Just his voice is amazing. It's like Jeff Buckley, and uh-huh. and I was just blown away. It was one of the coolest things I've ever experienced.
I got a couple fan questions. Mike wants to know, what is your favorite break?
My favorite break is probably restaurants, and it's in Fiji at an island called Tavarua, and it's like one of the best waves in the world. It's a perfect left. I'm goofy foot, so it's like a perfect wave where you can get amazing barrels and do lots of turns.
And when did you discover that?
When I was 16.
Whoa.
I went on a trip with all my heroes, it was the coolest, one of the coolest trips of my life, and from that, you know, that year on, it's just been one of my favorite spots, and I have some of my earliest memories of being with like all these guys that I looked up to that were pro surfers, and it's a good trip.
Okay, and one more, what's the state of surfing in 2007?
I think there is like a little switch in the guard. I feel like there's all these kids who are like 19. I just saw a movie with a local guy from Ventura, Dane Reynolds, and a couple other guys from Australia, and I felt like I'd been kind of in a box for the last 2 years, because I'm like, uh-oh. I've been paying attention because they're doing some new crazy maneuvers, and I feel like the guard is changing, and it's a whole new generation kind of pushing the level of aerial surfing, and it's great to see. It's very inspiring for me.
Cool.
So I always ask my musicians the same three questions, and the first one is, do you have a slang term that you overuse?
A slang term?
Or word.
Word? You know what I say? I think I say like too much, and I'll say dude. I don't know. It's horrible. and stoked. When I say it, it's funny on music interviews, when I say stoked, mm-hmm. it's different than saying stoked for surfing it, because everybody says it, you know? And then if we're talking about music, I'm like, yeah, I'm so stoked. I'm like, oh, it's like something you never hear in a song or anything, you know? And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I like that word, but I use it and whatever.
Okay. What's your drink of choice?
My drink of choice would be a grande hazelnut soy latte.
Cool.
I like that.
Okay. And how do you feel about eyeliner?
Depends on who it's on. I like it on girls, I think.
Not waterproof for you?
No.
And then we're pirate pods, and we like to end our podcast with a pirate impression, or arr of some sort.
Arr. Thanks for listening. I'm Timmy Curran.